shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
From MLW, recently re-signed, super duper duper star. Don't just trust me. I'm scared of the man. So I got to put him. I got to say the nice things. Recently re-signed with Fightful. With MLW per Fightful Select. And we're looking forward to seeing him and all the stars of MLW at Eric Bischoff's One Shot Thursday, December 5th at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Mads Kruel Kruger. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
I'm nervous here. Jeremy was telling me a few things before we got started about things you've done and things you do. But Jeremy, I'll let you start so we can make things a little comfortable for me here.
Well, let's start with re-signing with MLW. What went into this decision? Because we talked, you were on a different show, Spotlight, probably about 2 months or so ago. You're saying you still take independent dates and you kind of had a handshake agreement with MLW and you knew they would do good business by you. You would do good business by them. So what went into the decision to sign a contract with them?
A conversation with Court and myself really is where it started. But you know, I'm sure we'll talk about more of this later because, you know, I think you guys have probably already been told some of the other things going on besides just signing a wrestling contract. But there was opportunity there for me to kind of fill my resume a little more backstage, and to get into some producing and agenting. And that's where I see my future in the long run, in the world of professional wrestling. That's where my passion is. You know, I'm really big into telling stories. I always have. I don't see a point in doing this if we're not telling stories. And that's my personal opinion. So, you know, that opportunity is what led me to say, okay, this is a good chance. You know, this is a good opportunity for me to learn and grow and learn from somebody, you know, that's been in this business for a very, very long time and been in very many different companies.
With the opportunity to produce and work backstage, is there anyone that you've been able to shadow while you've been doing stuff with MLW?
Alex Greenfield, Greeny. And then you've also, of course, Court Bauer. And that's, I mean, you know, hey, straight to the top, right? So, yeah, you know, it was a good opportunity. And I've never done it outside of an independent wrestling scene. You know, I've kind of been doing it for years and didn't even realize what I was doing until probably a year or so ago. But now it's kind of become the focal point, and I see more of it, and I realize what I'm trying to learn and what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to go.
Besides like producing, is there anything else behind the scenes that you're kind of doing?
I'm agenting some matches now for MLW, but yeah, those kind of the two things right now. I'm sure that will grow over time. Like I said, you know, I think one way. You know, I'm usually on one track. You know, so if I'm going to a show and I've got my story and I've got my things, that's usually what I'm focused on. I may or may not necessarily be focused on the entirety of the show. You know what I mean? I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, you know, I'm concerned about what I'm doing and what's happening around myself. And now I've started kind of thinking outside of that box and what's going on with everyone, you know, and how does it all tie in together and how do you get all tying together to create a good wrestling show? Because at the end of the day, that's what it takes. It can't just be one story. One story can't necessarily carry a whole show. You've got to have other things going on as well to keep people's interest.
Do you think being a big dude like this is going to help you when you have to reel in Eric Bischoff and his ideas coming up for Eric Bischoff's one show on December 5th?
You know, I don't know. we may have to get him in and get him out pretty quick. I don't know if I want him around long.
No, please elaborate. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I love, you know, actually, I've got to meet Eric one time.
shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
With one of Conrad's shows over in, for the and man, he's a great guy. It was a great day, but you know, like I said, we can't let him hang around MLW too long.
You're no stranger to kind of matches in MLW's world, a weapons of mass destruction matches. This one you had against Akira that just aired this past week on MLW Slaughterhouse. That's up for free on YouTube, on MLW's YouTube, if anybody wants to check it out. Honestly, one of the more insane matches I have seen. I just want to know why, how, and did you feel bad for what you did to Akira?
I will never feel bad for doing anything to Akira. No, the weapons of mass destruction match, you know, what a cool concept, first of all. And it was accidental, I think, almost. Like, it started with to turn around, and that was kind of when Contra imploded, and we were doing like the Contra Civil War, and that match was, you know, Court created that match, and the box, you know, the mystery box, and you know, you don't know what's in it, it explodes, and you know, that was what led me to change into, you know, the Cruel Mask, MLW, but that concept kind of led to, hey, you know, this could actually be a thing, you know, this could be something we bring out at the right time, for the right opponent, for the right situation. So it's cool, and I think it'll continue to grow and become its own match, you know, over time as we get deeper into it. Like I said, it was just there, and it become a thing the first time, and now it is a thing, and I think it will continue to be a match that we will use in the future, but we'll just have to see when and where.
So I don't want to go. Oh, sorry, Joel.
No, go ahead.
I don't want a magician revealing tricks or anything here. I just want to say that steel plate spot, that's one of the more disgusting things I've ever seen in wrestling. That looked absolutely gnarly. And then you stuff them in a toxic waste bin to end off. But like when you're kind of putting this together with Akira, we've had Akira on the show before, and he's pretty much up for anything. Like, yes, how does that go of like, hey, we want to do this. What are you thinking? Is it immediate yes, or is there a little bit of reservation there?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. You start talking with Akira, it's probably Akira's idea. so, you know, and like the steel plate, you talk about the magic behind. There is no magic behind it. You know, we're talking about a gusset plate. I don't know if you guys are familiar with buildings and how construction works, but, you know, you can walk out 100 yards from my house right now, and there's a barn, and I could show you, you know, many gusset plates that are stuck in the rafters of this thing that are holding, you know, 2x4s and 2x6s together. So that's what they're made to do. they weren't made to be stuck into your skull.
I love the fact that wrestling fans have now become like construction aficionados thanks to hardcore wrestling. what's the weirdest weapon you've been hit with? And also, what's the weirdest weapon you've used to hit somebody else?
Oh man, I don't you're probably Casanova Valentine and his strange sex toys from the netherworld. I think that's the nicest way I could say that. Or the cleanest way I could say it. But yeah, he's got some interesting toys that he plays with, no pun intended. You know, I think that there's been so much stuff over the last 3 years that I really probably couldn't tell you what I've hit somebody with, but I'm sure I've hit somebody with some weird things.
what are the, like, moving forward in MLW, aside from Gold? Everyone's going to say Gold. You have your feud with Kojima. The last time you guys met, but there was no contest. Riddle got involved and everything there. But what are big, kind of big picture goals for MLW for you?
Yeah, I think I go back to what we were just talking about. I think the big picture goal, and this has always been a goal, and I think I've said this in interviews for years now, you know, the reason I like being a part of a company, or, you know, signing a contract, like, purpose to me behind doing that is saying, I want to help build this brand, not just me, you know? And I think that's a lost thing sometimes in professional wrestling. You know, guys go into places and they're not necessarily motivated to help try to grow the business as a whole or the company as a whole. But in my mind, you know, I've done sales for many, many years. And the only way I make more money in that world is to help the company make more money. Right. And I don't see where the motivation changes. If I can help the company make more money, then I feel like we're all going to make more money, or we should. And then if we're not, we cross that bridge when we get there. So that's always been my mindset. You know, what can I do to help this entire thing make more money? And not just necessarily like in the ring or at a show, like what can we do outside of that? You know, what kind of advertising can we do? What kind of outreaches can you do with the community? Just there's so many things to do to help grow a brand.
Was there a catalyst or a moment that kind of brought you to that and brought you back to MLW? Was it like, again, you mentioned the conversations with Corp, but like, was there something maybe you saw that said, man, I got to get in to do this and be a part of this?
It's different this time around. You know, from when I was there, it's only been, I think, a year and a half, 2 years since the first contract ended. That was the end of 2022. So start of 2023. So it was only a year really. That I was gone. But in that time, there was such a changeover of talent. You know, guys left. Some guys moved on. You know, Hammerstone went to TNA. Fatu is now obviously in the WWE. So there was a lot of movement. A lot of things happened backstage. There were some new people come in the management roles. And it just feels like a different group now. A lot of hungry young talent back there, but there's also the Riddles and the Kojimas, Suzuki, and you've got all this talent backstage that's been there, Bobby Fish, and getting to learn from them, be around these guys and listen to them is an awesome experience. And like I said, it also feels like there's a lot more togetherness this time around. It's a pretty tight-knit group of people, and so I like that. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
For people who haven't heard this story, Jacob Fatu and being his last opponent in MLW, what did that mean? And again, for people who haven't heard this story, Fatu actually picked you to be his last opponent.
Yeah, he did. Now that because he enjoyed it so much the first time around, you know. And again, another one of those things that you go back and look at it, I didn't realize how great the work we were doing together was until I went back and looked at it. And you're like, wow, this was a great series of matches that we had. And the story that we told was really good. You know, in the moment, you're just focused on that. You know, you're focused on getting it done and making sure you're doing it the right way. But then you go back and are able to look at it. You're like, well, that's, I like that too. You know? And so he appreciated it as well. No, it was a great honor, you know, that he would put my name out there and say, yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy I want to leave, you know, on my back with Cruel, you know.
Favorite story that you've heard, taken, whatever, and moved into the wrestling world. Do you have one?
Say that one more time.
So, like, some people will take from movies and they'll play it out into a wrestling story. Some people will hear, you know, an old fable or whatever it is, and they'll move it into a wrestling story. Is there something that you've heard or that you've, learned or watched along the way that you've been like, I got to use this in a wrestling story that's resonated Ooh. With you?
I can't pull one off the top of my head right now. You know, I'm sure I have. I'm influenced by movies and things like that. I'll definitely comic books and mean, hell, you look at Contra. Yeah, I think we can all agree that's pulled straight from G.I. Joe in every sense of the word, which is great. You know, I lean into that when we start talking about stuff because I was a huge G.I. Joe mark when I was a kid. And so to kind of think about Contra as Cobra is a lot of fun because then you can really, like you just said, dig into some things from that and think about ways to put it together. And, you know, there were so many different groups involved with that. So, but yeah, I don't think there's one in particular I can pull off the top of my head, but I'm definitely influenced by movies and comics and things like that.
You mentioned the togetherness of the MLW locker room, and you know, in our FIFA Select report, it mentions that you have become a locker room leader this time around. So I don't want you to take credit for being Oh, I had an echo. Sorry. I don't want you to take credit for being now, you know, bringing the togetherness, but what does it mean to you to like try to maybe be that person as a veteran who's been there before, as a guy at the top of the card, like trying to bring everybody together?
Yeah, no, the most important thing is I would go back and remember the first day I walked into an MLW locker room and how I felt, you know, that nervousness, you know, you're here, here's your opportunity. Right. And, you know, I remember guys that would come to me that day and speak to me and talk to me and make me feel comfortable. I remember the guys who didn't. And so I do that now, you know, when we have somebody new come in, it doesn't matter whether it's a guy everybody in the world knows or somebody that absolutely no one's going to have a clue who they are. I try to make sure I speak to them, give them some, you know, just give them some advice about the day, you know, cause it's very easy. You know, it's a lot different. You know, you show up at an indie show at 5 o'clock, you get dressed, you're just kind of hanging out, and then you do a show at 8 and you're going by 10:30 or 11. You know, it's not to say it's not hard, but it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, when you're doing these TV productions, you're there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you're there for, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 hours, however long, it can really wear on you, especially if you're not sure what's going on. It's very, you can exhaust yourself sitting around doing nothing, seriously, you know, and it's good to try to get them to feel comfortable, get them involved with the rest of the locker room. And that way they feel like they're supposed to be there.
So as we start to wind down, we have a little game that we play on the channel. It's called Partner, Promo, or Punch in the Face. I'm going to give you three names from your past and some from your present. And you're going to pick which one you would have a promo off in the ring with. Maybe, I don't know, talking real well now. You have someone you want to partner with in a tag team match and someone you want to punch in the face, have a good old-fashioned singles match with. You ready?
Right. Yep.
Here are your three names. Jacob Fatu, Satoshi Kojima, and Matthew Justice. Partner, promo, punch in the face.
Oh, wow. That's good. You know, I want to partner with Matthew Justice. I think that would...
might try to off somebody.
We would take over the world. You know, we obviously can't kill each other. We've tried. I got to punch Fatu in the face, man. I can't back off of it now. Got to keep going. And then promo with Kojima, I think would be hilarious if for all the right reasons.
Just throw bread at him. Throw bread at this man. Did you get some of that bread cake that he had for his birthday?
I did not. I didn't even know that. I missed that, which I guess that means I was busy. So like,
nobody had this cake.
Yeah. I had no idea that I remember seeing a cake at the very end of the night and Kojima was eating it. But I was like, oh, okay. I don't remember seeing it. It may have been there all day and I just never even noticed it.
It was disguised very well. It looked exactly like a Wonder Bread bag. So they did.
That was in Atlanta, correct? Yeah, that was in Atlanta. Yeah. 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 I did see it. I do remember seeing it. I didn't know what it was for actually. So I left it alone.
If it's bread, it's probably Kojima. If it looks like bread,
know. We're at an MLW show. It could have been made to throw in. Somebody may have been going into it for all.
We keep asking different members of the MLW roster if they've actually like had this cake, seen this cake. The answer is always like, yeah, I saw it. I didn't try it. Like we asked Elmi Extra. She's like, yeah, I saw it, never got to try it. So I don't know what's going on. Everyone's seen the cake, but no one ate it. Maybe Kojima.
Well, like I said, you know, you can't. there's always so many random things that could be being used in a show. You just kind of just leave it alone.
Well, speaking of shows, MLW presents Eric Bischoff's One Shot. That's Thursday, December 5th at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. You can get your tickets over at MLWNYC.com. Mads, Cruel, Kruger, here you are. Anything you want to put over before we let you go?
No, guys, like I said, you know, MLW, I think we've had a really good run of shows this year. You know, we sold out arenas, which is great. People seem to be invested. MLW has such a cult following of fans. You know, it's such an interesting thing to see. You know, I don't see these fans on your everyday indie shows, but I'll see them at the MLW shows, and they travel. And it's so that's very, I think that's cool. I think that they're invested in that product, and they're invested in that, in the version of me that I'm presenting at MLW.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care of yourself out there. Have fun.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.